into town. He's with us. This is the Dave Ramsey Show. If you're just joining us, it's a show about life and money, giving you the same financial advice your grandmother would, only we keep our teeth in. This segment, we're going to do something very special. As those of you who have listened for more than 10 minutes know, this is not an interview show where we have guests on. We don't book the latest author or those kinds of things on here, but occasionally I run into someone very special. Sometimes they're a famous person, sometimes they're not, but they have information or insight you need. And this is a show about you. So that's what we're doing this hour, for the rest of this hour. Secret Santa is with us, Larry Stewart. Larry, if you don't know, for over 25 years, was known only as Secret Santa. His identity was kept secret. During that time, he gave away, well, most reports are now saying a little over $1,300,000 in Christmas cash to hundreds of folks that were down on their luck, usually a $100 bill or bills at a time. He's remained anonymous, as I said, the entire time until this year when he decided to go public. He's been on all the big media, of course. I've seen him all over the place and known who he was for a long time. As a matter of fact, if you have a copy of the book, The Total Money Makeover, we talk about Larry in there, although we didn't know who Larry was at the time. We talk, when we're talking about the power of giving and what it does in your life, we had a page and a half or something on there describing his exploits. And now he's out there handing out $100 bills. How fun that is. So joining us this hour, as I said, is Larry Stewart from Kansas City. Larry, I'm so honored to have you on this show. Thank you for taking time.
Dave, it's my honor. I was just flabbergasted when I heard that you and I would have a chance to talk, and I'm hopefully one of these days we'll have a chance to meet when you come to Kansas City.
Well, you bet. We'll have you back there in the VIP Platinum All Access backstage when we're here. We'll make sure that's taken care of. So Blake is telling me now, Blake, our producer, he's a big Kansas City guy. So he grew up in Olathe.
Oh yeah.
He's got a framed George Brett jersey on his wall. And he's all jealous because you hang out with George, we hear.
Well, yeah. Has Blake got it signed yet?
Yeah, it's signed. It's. But we paid big bucks to get it for him as a gift.
See,
we didn't have the connection at the time. So
George is a dear friend and one of our elves.
That's what I heard.
Yeah,
I heard.
He helps us out immensely.
Doesn't surprise me a bit. Well, I want to let folks hear your story. I know a lot about it, and I've been an admirer from afar for years. But what you're doing is so in line with what we teach that you just really don't live well until you give well. So let's talk about it. Let's tell them your story. Talk about how you came up as a child and then what led you into this being out there being Secret Santa.
Well, I was raised up by my grandparents in Mississippi. I never knew my dad, and when I was born, my mom, she left, and my grandparents raised me, and they were already pretty old, and my grandfather passed away when I was 11 years old, and I was a little angry with God because I was scared to death not knowing what I was going to do. But, you know, every single time, I may have left him, he never left me.
Amen.
When I was in trouble, he'd grab me by the nape of the neck and pull me out of that depths of despair, and so it took me a while to wake up, though.
Mm-hmm.
And so we lived on commodities. We lived in a home that my aunt provided for us. Otherwise, I don't know what we would have done. We raised a garden and grandma canned. We picked cotton, mm-hmm. cut timber, whatever we could do just to make a few extra bucks. So that's how
so
I grew up.
So what city in Mississippi is it?
A town called Bruce, B-R-U-C-E, mm-hmm. Bruce, Mississippi, a wonderful town. Interestingly enough, their slogan is "Where money grows on trees," and that's because they're a lumber town, and
that's
where they really got their start.
Well, that's fun. So you grew up learning hard work with not a lot of extra money laying around, or not any extra money laying around.
Wasn't much laying around. I grew up in hard work. I didn't necessarily like it, but you do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm. So what prompted this learning to give away $100 bills?
Well, my grandmother used to always tell me, you know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Well, growing up as a kid, you know, I always looked forward to Christmas hoping that this would be the year I'd finally get something, and that really never came. So when the kids would do show and tell, I would I'd just do the telling part. I never brought anything to show because I wasn't always telling the truth. But as I began to get a little bit older, I started playing sports, and I found out that that was kind of an equalizer. And people didn't look at you like you were white trash, as I was once referred to.
Mm-hmm.
So one year, I mean, I had gotten out of school. I spent 2 years going to junior college, ran out of money, and I got a job selling a product door-to-door, and I was in a little town called Houston, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the company that I worked for up north, they went out of business. They just forgot to tell me. And I kept waiting for my check. Finally, the hotel guy, he had to kick me out. I was living in my car, an old beat-up rusty Datsun at the time, and my license was expired, and on. So I swallowed I'd been homeless at that point for about 8 days, and I swallowed every ounce of pride that I had, and I went to a local church for help. And the lady there said, you'll have to come back tomorrow because the person that handles that's not here. I'll never forget that feeling as I walked away. I knew right then and there I'd never, ever do that again. So the next morning I got up, and I'd been using my, laundry, dirty clothes, for cover and stuff. So I put on my best jacket, and I marched right down to the local diner, a place called the Dixie Diner. And I ordered a big breakfast, and I had concocted this plan that I was going to pretend I'd lost my wallet. I wasn't going to pay for it. So I ate my breakfast and then waited till the crowd kind of thinned out a little bit, finally got up enough nerve, hoping that he wouldn't see my heart about to jump out of my chest, and started what I thought was an Academy Award-winning act. And then about that time, the cook came from around behind the counter, reached down behind me, and then raised up his hand, and in his hand right in front of my face was a $20 bill. And he said, "Son, you must have dropped this." And I said, "Thank you, Lord." Well, I knew I hadn't dropped it. And a little bit of guilt, jumped in. And then I went back and said, "Well, maybe this is an answer to my prayer," because I had been praying so hard for days and days. And so I took the money, and I paid him, left him a tip, and bolted up the hill and got enough gas to get me out of town and headed west. So on the way, as I was bouncing between guilt and gratefulness, I made a promise to the Lord. I said, "Lord, if you ever put me in a position to help other people, I'll do it." So I headed west, and I landed up in Kansas City in June of 1971. I had $18 in my pocket and everything I owned in a suitcase. The bank that had the mortgage on the car wouldn't let me take my car out of state. So I had no car, and I knew one person there. And that's how it really got started.
And you started and have run businesses since. I guess I'll take the short version, became very wealthy, and then have decided to give back, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, the first business I started, Dave, was a miserable failure. My father-in-law put his farm up as collateral for a loan for me to go into business. And at the time it was only $4,500, but I lost it. And, but I sweated blood to pay back that bank note, finally got it paid off. People have often used the term self-made this and self-made that. I really don't subscribe to that, because I think every person, whether it's Bill Gates or Warren Buffett, they had a lot of wonderful people who helped them to get where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody does it by themselves. And without God in your life, I don't see how anybody can do it.
Well, I agree with that.
Yeah.
So tell me about the first time you decided to put $100 bills in your pocket and walk out there. Was that a little nerve-wracking?
Well, it didn't start with hundreds. 1979, I had just got fired from my job about 2 weeks before Christmas, and I was driving down 23rd Street in Independence, Missouri, pulled into this little drive-in, ordered a burger and something to drink. And the lady who came out and brought it to me, it was pretty cold that day, and she didn't have much of a jacket on, and I looked at her, and I handed her a 20, and she said, "I'll need to go inside and break it." And I said, "No, keep the change." And she still said, "No, I need to get," thinking I'm at the nickels and dimes. I said, "No, ma'am, keep it all." About that time, she put her hand to her face, and her whole face began to tremble, and her face was just full of tears. And she looked at me, and she said, "Sir, you have no idea what this means to me." And I thought, wow. And suddenly then, bingo, I remembered the promise. And Dave, I'll be honest with you, up until that time, I don't think I'd thought about that vow more than three or four times as I was struggling every day just to try to get through life. But right then, bells went off. I went back to the bank, and I had $600 in the bank, and I drew 200 more out, and I got it in fives and tens, and I started just driving around looking for people I thought needed a lift. And they were easy to find. So that's how it got started, with fives and tens.
Oh, my goodness. That's fun. So then New York City was on the list after 911?
Yeah, that was tough.
People were hurting, weren't they?
Oh, listen, everybody was hurting. And as I sat there, I just canceled every meeting. I canceled all appointments. I didn't really want to talk to anybody but my family. I wanted them to be around me and hug them. But yet something just kept pulling at me, saying, "You need to go there." So I went, and I'm glad that I did. I am certainly glad I did. It was an experience I'll never forget.
Larry's website, if you want to learn more about being a Secret Santa, secretsantabook.com or secretsantausa.com. Write those down, folks. And can you stay with us for one more segment?
Sure can, Dave.
All right, let's do that, because I want to be able to unpack and talk about this book and that Donna McGuire has written about you, and that the proceeds are going to help other people. But, hey, people, you know, you could go do this. It's not rocket science. It's bothering. And Larry's the man. I mean, you got Santa Claus right here to tell you how to do it. So let's talk about how other people can give back and what Larry hopes people will take away from his story and hear a little bit more from him. He's a good storyteller, isn't he? So SecretSantaUSA.com, SecretSantaBook.com. Go hit that website right now, and you can learn about doing this and learn about this organization. And we're going to hear about his goals for it and all of that when we come back right here on The Dave Ramsey Show. World-famous, literally, Secret Santa, for giving away 1,300,000 plus over the last 25 years anonymously, this year has decided to come forward and to create a movement, a crusade of Secret Santas. Larry Stewart is with us. Larry is Secret Santa, no longer a secret, from Kansas City. And for years has given people hope and given them a lift by giving them a little money. Sometimes just a little money and a little bit of a smile does a lot of good towards turning someone's life around. He experienced that. He's passed that on to others. Larry, thanks for staying another segment with us. So what's happening at the website? What is the SecretSantaUSA.com, Secret Santa?
We've had like over 7,000 emails in the last 6 days. And out of those, Dave, 2,800 of them, a little more than 2,800, have signed up to become Secret Santas themselves. That is just incredibly heartwarming. And all they have to do to be a Secret Santa is to agree to go out and commit one random act of kindness, and then share that with us so we can post it for our readers this December. And it's been just incredibly heartwarming. We have now Secret Santas from all over the world, literally all over the world. Dave, one thing I wanted to clarify, I had no intention ever of going public.
Oh, you didn't?
No, but there was a local tabloid. The only reason I did, some people say it was because of my health, et cetera, but that's not true. There was a local tabloid here. I hesitate to call them even a newspaper. They were going to out me. They were bound and determined, for whatever reason, to write a story about me. And I sat down with my family, my close friends, and they said, "Dad, look, if anybody's going to tell your story, don't let it be the tabloids. You have to tell it." So that's the reason that I went public.
But the cool result is that now you've, you know, in a sense, formalized it, and people can go and learn how to do this and sign up, and you've kind of, you know, you're not making anything off this website, I take it.
No.
It's costing you with the bandwidth, isn't it?
and you know, we've got four songs that I've written. I grew up in the music business when I was a kid around some great songwriters. I wrote four songs and where people can actually download them off the website. One of them is basically my the whole story about the Dixie Diner. But listen, before we run out of time, there's something I must tell you.
Okay.
Our church, for the last 13 weeks, has been participating in the Financial Peace University program.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Now, we've had 11 classes, 100 families. The total combined amount of debt when we started was just a little over $3 million. In the past 13 weeks, we have paid off $464,661 in debt and put $161,000 in savings.
Oh, my goodness. That's incredible.
13 weeks. So I just had to tell you that.
Well, I'm honored. That's so cool. Because now they're going to have some money to be Secret Santas.
Yeah. And so when people go to Secret Santa USA, they can... just have them go through the website. There's all kinds of stuff there on how to be a Secret Santa.
Mm-hmm.
Just say that you do want to be one and get your kids involved. You don't have to give away money. You know, bake some cookies for the shut-in lady across the street that nobody ever sees.
Mm-hmm.
Just be kind to somebody. As Buck O'Neill, my dear friend, used to always say, it don't cost nothing to be kind.
It doesn't. Now, the reports are out there about your health.
Yep.
And we've heard everything from you're on your deathbed, which you're obviously not.
Nope.
To you do have cancer, though.
I do. I was diagnosed in April with esophageal cancer. They gave me 4 weeks to live. And what's today, Dave?
Little past four weeks, Larry.
Yeah, you got it. We're into December now. I was fortunate to get into a place where I consider the most wonderful place in the world for treatment of cancer, MD Anderson in Houston.
Oh, yeah.
And I have now 2 months off from my first phase of treatments, doing very, very well. And I start my second phase in January. So I'm excited about the future.
Absolutely.
You know, when you got Christ in your corner, you can't lose.
No, you really can't. You know, all possible options are positive. So,
and part of my daily prayer had been, Lord, lift me up. Give me opportunities to witness to more people. So I can be a better servant. That was part of my everyday prayer. Well, little did I know, this is what he had in mind. It kind of backfired on me.
Mm. Yeah, you got to be careful what you wish for.
Yes, right.
SecretSantaUSA.com, SecretSantaBook.com. Now, the book written by Donna McGuire. Now, Donna is the lady who has followed you and protected your identity all these years.
Oh, yeah, she's been honorable about that.
From the Kansas City Star. And has written this book, and it's getting great distribution. World 2 Publishing, it's all over. And just thumbing through it, it's a great. I can't wait to get it on the plane and read it. I got to head to New York tonight, and I'm going to give this thing a read while I'm going. It looks. You could just see the pictures of the people's faces as they got some help and things. This has got to be a fun process.
Well, we've got 32 pages of glossy photos there, Dave, and you know, actually, there's a link so that if they just go to SecretSantaUSA.com. There is a link up there that shows how they can find the book too and the locations.
It seems like I read in one of the stories. I've read several press releases on you that the proceeds of this book are going to what?
Well, they're going to a variety of charities. Now, Donna, she's the author. So,
oh, okay.
You know, obviously, she's getting something from the book.
Sure.
American Century Investments has created a foundation here called the Secret Santa Foundation Fund.
Oh, yeah, and they're right there in Kansas City, yeah.
Yeah, and it's administered by the Greater Kansas City Community Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And then any profits that are a result of the sales of the book are going to go to not only that, but a variety of charities,
great,
including Buck O'Neill's Dream.
Great. Well, Larry Stewart's been our guest this segment. Larry, it's an honor to spend a little time with you. Can't wait to get to Kansas City and get to meet you in May and hang out with you. We'll be get to spend a little time backstage together, I hope. That'll be our plan. So, SecretSantaUSA.com. You got to do it, folks. What would happen if, like, I don't know, 1 million of you, 3 million went and did this? You could rock the world. This is so cool. Thank you, Larry. We're so honored to be with you. That puts this hour of the Dave Ramsey Show in the books.